Lime, duh. Welcome to the Comedians of Wrestling podcast bonus emergency episode here on a Monday, putting this out right after Monday Night Raw. I have a very, very, very special guest. This episode, I'm going to use this episode to promote my new, this is a very special occasion, medium.com/DanBlackAttack, my new, I don't know, publication slash, it's a blog, it's whatever, it's a blog. I put out a new article, you can check it out now. I was telling you guys about it last week, but it is officially dropped. It is called Trump Worked Himself Into a Shoot. My guest here today has read it, he's went through it, he's been checking it, he's checking it twice, he Santa Claus'd it. And yeah, so check that out right now. You go in there and subscribe, and I'll be posting more articles. Okay, let's get that out of the way. You can check out my medium.com, danblackattack.medium.com. That's what it is, which is apropos because I'm a medium man in many ways, more ways than one, many would say. Anyway, we just listened to Pete Dunne's theme music by request of my guest. He is here. He is back. You know him. You love him. The Magent, the Mage One, Mr. Brian Dipperstein.
Hey now.
What up? Oh, hey now. Where are you going, Stern?
Yeah, because your beautiful, new, stunning, gorgeous surroundings look like the Howard Stern show.
Thank you. This is the new preview of the new, this is the officially here at Silver Tiger Studios in sunny, sunny Burbank, California. It's beautiful. We've just opened, and you're the first guest here in the virtual studio.
I mean, it's a stunning, beautiful studio. I'm honored. I really am. I'm truly honored.
Thank you.
It's not Dipperstein Towers, but it's a beautiful studio.
No, nothing can be Brian Dipperstein's beautiful house. Many a party there, many a good time to be had there. Beautiful, beautiful decor. Anyway, look, Dipperstein, we played the Pete Dunne music. We're just gonna fucking talk about the state of pro wrestling because you and I have not, due to COVID, we normally watch pay per views together. We are wrestling friends. Okay. And we normally watch wrestling together. We hang out. We watch old pay-per-views, and COVID, and especially in LA, is booming, has fucked it up. So we have a lot to chop up. So I'm not even going to control where this goes and where we're at here. We have a lot to say, but I want to say Pete Dunne music you requested to kick off the show.
You know what? It's my current favorite theme song right now. It's in my opinion, it's the best theme song in the biz today. It really gets me going for all the non-working out I do.
Yeah,
well, you know, it's one of those.
That's the reason you got to work out, man, because you have to work out. You have to work out because wrestling music is so good for working out. It's one of the greatest things. I drive to the gym every morning. You think I'm a man. Just you think you know me. I'm like, I gotta restart that again. I need those drums. You think you know me. That's my
really
deal. Yeah.
I would be yeah. It would be like, you know, early
90s. You think you know me.
Yeah. Come on, those drums. I can't headbang to it. I got a bit of a headache, you know.
I never thought that the drums in the Edge theme, I never thought that they led to anything good. Everything is great. You think you know me, the drums, and then it's like, I don't need an opera.
On this day,
I don't like
I see clearly. It's a little doo-woppy. It's a little,
very
it's like, it's like.
Yeah. You think you know me?
Ja, 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 ja. Yeah, this skunk's gonna be hard. You're dead. Watch out. This guy's gonna beat you up on this day. Hey. I see clearly. Hey, everybody. Everybody, look at your chairs.
Yeah.
It's Edge. It's Edge and Lita's 40th anniversary party. On this day, I see clearly the love between Edge and Lita. It's grown and grown. He's married to Lita, right?
I see clearly that my wrestling career is pretty much over.
Yo, someone should Sinatra the Edge song. You know what I mean? So they're like, on this day.
Like Sam Cooke, like a Sam Cooke.
I see clearly.
Yeah. Yeah.
That everything is gonna be all right. Croon it. Fucking Edge crooning.
Do you know any like amazing singer? Should we have Skylar do it?
Yeah, I know an amazing singer. Well, one of our fucking best pods is professional singer, Broadway singer.
That is what we're doing. We want to have Skylar on the show or some other show.
Yes.
Yeah. I want to see him record the Edge theme in the style of Sinatra.
On this day, I see clearly everything has been all right. That's not the words.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got to get that Skylar to do that.
What do you think he'll say? Yes or no?
I would bet everything I own on a yes. Everything.
That China Playboy behind you? Would you bet that?
Oh my God! So speaking of that, the studio is decorated to the nines. And speaking of the nines, the ninth wonder of the world, China is in the back of me. I found an old China Playboy.
Wow.
And, yeah, I haven't opened it up yet. That's gonna be a special moment for everyone. You know.
The only thing I was able to buy in that vein when I was that age was a Sable TV guide.
The Sable TV. You didn't have the Sable Playboy?
No. I didn't have. No. No.
Oh my God. Getting that was like a big deal.
I was like,
we were like, I was my 12. Buddy. Yeah, so were I. But I had one friend who like kind of passed for older or just kind of had old man, like an older swag to him.
That's a big jump. 12 to 21.
Yeah. And he I remember he went into Stage Cards in Long Island, New York. He went in there and it was so funny because we watched him through the window. And he like pretended to peruse, and then he went. He got the China Playboy, but he like read a couple magazines at the rack, like to seem older, like in Superbad style, like you know, like old men would look at a couple magazines. You know what I mean? And then he bought it. And he came out with it. It was this major score. And then we all did a circle jerk on the same. No, that's the okay. Come on.
I'll take this and a DuPont registry.
You gotta, you don't want to buy condoms with just that. You gotta mix it up with something. You got the Sable Playboy, like a pack of gum, and a Mother's Day card.
Flaming hot Cheetos, dude, and some
Ninja. Some flaming. At that time, what do we get? Bugles and some bugles.
I was one of the biggest.
You one of the top bugle guys.
Which finger bugle guys in the biz today? You put the bugles on the fingers. You have which fingers?
Yeah. You got who used to have those fingers like that?
The Wicked Witch.
Yeah, but does
Marlena?
Does Scarlett Bordeaux have that? Catwoman had that. That's what I'm thinking of. That's not a wrestler. Anyway, but you had a second song you wanted to listen to. You had a second request.
I did. I was in the mood for this, the following theme, and I don't know why or how. I just was in the mood for it. So please, Dan Black Attack, play my second favorite theme.
Okay, here it is.
One, two, is this on?
No.
No. No, this is not it. This is Triple H, my time. Did you remember this Triple H entrance music? To keep playing. Loved that song. And then he switched it to the game. Oh, no. Here's the song you actually recommended.
I mean,
Orient Express. Oh man, this song just reminds me of like a Van Damme, like Bloodsport, kickboxer, like that. You know,
Yeah, they should put it on the new Cobra Kai season, frankly.
Oh, yeah. Are you a Cobra Kai guy?
I'm become one of the biggest Cobra Kai guys in the biz today.
Really?
I loved it. It went from zero. I haven't finished the whole third season yet. I'm almost finished. But it went in the it goes from zero to 60 in 2 seconds.
Yeah,
it's like more, it's like Mortal Kombat of Jace.
I
is it not?
It's a great time. I watched Cobra Kai on YouTube Red. I got a YouTube Red subscription and I watched it then.
Wow.
So I saw season one and two in like 2018 and was like, yo, people, you got to see this. I'm trying to explain it to you. Like, it's Machio. It's what's his name? Babka.
Yeah.
Whatever. Zabka.
Michael Zabka. Yeah.
Do you guys rep? Do you guys really? Whatever. Do you guys rep him?
No.
I was like, yo, this guy. Can you imagine if you were his agent and you're like, listen, bro, nothing's coming in one day. He's on the number one show, 40 million views on Netflix. And you're like, he's back. I never doubted you, baby. Billy, you're back.
Yeah. No, I got. I am involved with the show now, though. I in some way, but I'm very excited.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll edit this out.
I'm very excited about it. I got to tell you, I really am. I love Cobra Kai.
You got to get me a Cobra Kai, bro. I'm with the cow bandana.
Yeah.
Ori Express song, great.
Yeah.
So you love the Cobra Kai. Cobra Kai is great. It's great.
Love Cobra Kai.
Yeah. So I loved it, and then it's kind of crazy. These shows go to Netflix. I mean, you must know about this stuff. Like a show like Schitt's Creek, which I was like, I want to check that show out, but I don't know what Pop TV is. And then all of a sudden it's on Netflix and you're like, five seasons in, Catherine O'Hara is getting nominated for an Emmy for a show that's already five seasons deep. You know, it's like crazy.
Yeah, I love Schitt's Creek, but I don't like when they nominate people for an Emmy in the last season and don't recognize it the whole way. Schitt's Creek has been a great show for years.
Right.
You know?
I'm making this more of a Hollywood podcast now. We're supposed to talk about wrestling.
Frankly, we should be making it a Jewish deli podcast because this is really what you and I have the most, besides wrestling. The thing that we have the most in common is that we love deli. We love Jewish deli meats.
So, I mean, it feels like just yesterday when you and I were at 11. What's it called? 11 Deli?
11 City.
Yeah, 11 City. Not a great name for it because it doesn't have enough Jewishness to me. But anyway, it's fine.
I know. God forbid you tell the owner that. You'll get
No, that guy. Yeah, that guy also, I think, is not really Jewish. There's a guy who runs a deli here. He looks just like Johnny Lawrence, and he thinks he pretends to be Jewish.
He comes around the jokes. This guy.
Yeah. He's blonde. I mean, the guy's like, he's blonde, blue-eyed. I mean, you know.
But let me say something. Let me say something about Jewish delis in LA right now during COVID.
Yeah.
It's really astounding to me.
Yeah.
Which delis travel well and which delis don't. And I got to tell you, I agree. Greenblatt's is 2 seconds from my house. And even despite coleslaw being on the side of the corned beef, of the extra lean corned beef, of course, which, by the way, is an extra $3.75.
I don't go lean corned beef.
It's crazy. I eat only extra lean. Anything. I don't like any fatty meat whatsoever.
Oh, I like it fatty. I'm more of a pastrami guy.
Because you're a man and I'm a boy. Let's face it. And you know what?
You cut the crust off.
Everything. No, but here's what I'll say to all the Jewish delis out there if you're listening.
Yeah.
Okay. The single thing.
Go, bro. You have a lot to say. This is a militant Jew. Goldberg.
Every single thing on a Reuben sandwich that travels during COVID should come separately. You should have the meat separate.
Like a ramen.
Separate. What?
They should, like, when you get like ramen noodle, the noodle, it'll come in like pieces and then you put it together. Here's the broth. Here's the noodles, right? Yeah.
Well, ramen I don't eat because it drips all over the place. So it's dripping. I'm using towels. I mean, I'm bringing out big beach towels around when I'm eating ramen.
Have you ever been to Japan?
No, but it's like my dream vacation.
It's the greatest. Once COVID's done, I'll be going immediately to Japan. I love it. When they eat ramen there, literally they give you like a cube to eat in. So you can just like bend over it and just slurp the fuck out of it. They just completely acknowledge like this food is delicious and filthy to eat, you know?
Yeah, but like, you know, the bread should come separate, lightly toasted. The corned beef should come toasted. The Russian dressing all together, no matter, even if it's traveling 10 minutes to the house, there's something going on in those 10 minutes that makes it not, you know, accessible to just eat right out of the bag.
I told you this, when I was down with the vid, I'm recovered from the COVID now, but when I was down with COVID, I ordered one night, I ordered Cantor's because my mom was like, you got to have soup. You got COVID, you got soup. I was like, yeah, soup's going to knock this out. You know, Jewish mothers, like,
it's all about it. Soup is the only cure for anything. It's all soup. Yeah, they're
you know. Yeah, she's like, you got to have soup. So I'm like, all right, I'll order from Cantor's Deli here in LA, which is not that close to me, you know?
No.
No.
Me-ish.
Yeah, it's closer. It was way closer to you. I ordered a Reuben. And yeah, you're right. It came freezing cold, obviously.
Of course.
And it came fully constructed, you know? So I had to put it in the oven, which meant the coleslaw was now heated up, you know? Yeah.
I know, that's insane. I mean, that's disgusting. I mean, my mind is blown.
What do you do? Take coleslaw off and put it back? Because, like, part of the coleslaw is the juices, which, you know what I mean? It's not just about the cabbage.
Let me tell you something. I recently had first of all, it cost me $33 to have corned beef sent to this house. A corned beef sandwich, $33 on Postmates. Okay, well, I'm not poor. I'm rich adjacent, in fact. But let me tell you something. When it costs $33 to have a corned beef sandwich brought up here, there's something going on.
Oh my God, Richard Jace, as a matter of fact, you just said.
Yeah, Richard Jace. I can't commit to rich
for you.
Okay, so look, that's a great. Yo, sometimes on Postmates, I put it in LA. It's so expensive. I put in something. I'm I want this. I want this. Then I go to check out, and I'm like, $75 for just me. And then I'm like, all right, this is not happening. I think I'm just going to.
What are these fees? I mean, $7.99,
$8.99. Well, yo, Postmates has a delivery fee and then also a fees section. You know what I mean? So here's the delivery fee, and then here's the fee part. And if you click on that, it breaks down service fee, which you think is what the delivery fee is, but that's not what that is.
It's like a receipt as long as CVS.
Yeah. A waste of paper, which CJ Parker, NXT wrestler, I would not appreciate. Deep cut.
I can't do that one. Yeah, I can.
what's his name? What's his name now? Juice Robinson's pro Earth gimmick in NXT, where his last match, I believe he broke Kevin Owens' nose on KO's debut in NXT.
Yeah. Anyway, that's a real deep cut, though.
Yeah. Anyway. I do this pod every week, so I remember everything. Anyway, we're saying sorry.
Enough about CVS receipts and $37 corned beef sandwiches.
Right.
Time to talk about thing that you and I love. It's this thing of ours. You know what I'm saying? This thing about.
Oh, yeah. He's one of the greats.
It's the thing of ours.
I'm trying to think of a song. What's a great wrestling song that I should croon? I was thinking about crooning another wrestling song. Oh my God! What about Becky Lynch crooning? Like if someone was or you could Billy Joel it, like whoa, you know what I'm talking about? This is the worst cover I've ever seen. I pulled it in.
No, I know.
I have a great one. Yeah, what were you saying?
Rougeau Brothers.
I don't know the song. Rougeau Bros?
Put on the Rougeau Brothers theme.
I can't. I got to pull it. I got to pull it. But here's a great acoustic cover. Okay, ready? Okay. Have you heard this one?
Voices in my head, they counsel me.
Great one.
They understand, they talk to me.
Let's start right there. Okay, actually, this is a perfect segue. And then I want to talk about WrestleMania. But I want to ask you about Randy Orton. Because Randy Orton, I said on this pod, I thought he had an incredible 2020. I really loved his work. You might disagree. I really felt like he was putting over other guys, but also felt like he really found that old, like, snake Randy, you know? I'm curious your appreciation of Randy, who I don't think is a guy that you particularly love all the time.
You know, I think that they've put him in 2020 because he is their most reliable player.
Yeah.
And he'll always be a big, giant heel that works against any baby face. Right. And at the end of the day, he's somebody that they can put in, know that they're going, you know, going to evoke piped in fake booing. And, you know, my whole thing with the pipe and music,
the Thunderdome. No,
I'm going crazy.
You know, well, sometimes it's really manipulative and it makes me upset.
Crazy to the point of my head is exploding like an alien in Mars Attacks.
It's like Vince finally now has people reacting the way that he wishes they would. You know,
the whole it's so.
What are you talking about? Is that what you mean? Mars Attacks?
Thinking about the random crowd noises that go in and out and up and down bizarrely, and then at the majority of the time are drowning out the promos and making the spots in the matches seem less significant because it sounds like people are talking amongst themselves for 3.5 hours.
Right.
It's insane.
It's kind of crazy. It hasn't like insanely bothered me. But I've felt manipulated a couple times where I'm like, oh, no one cares about this moment. Why are they cheering? And then I'm like, oh, they're not cheering.
I'm being manipulated to change the channel is what I'm being manipulated to do.
Well, I mean, I guess you're just kind of going to the state of WWE in general. How are you feeling about watching wrestling? How are you feeling in general? And then how does that relate to your watching of wrestling? I think that's the interesting thing is that like, people are in a weird place right now. And then how does that affect your appreciation of the product? You know,
I'm watching every single week and I'm not missing it. And I, you know, there was, you know, that stretch in the 2000s where there was the case, but I am not missing it, but only out of necessity for something to watch that, you know, I can talk about with my friends because I mean, there was a couple of weeks ago where I was moments away. I mean, from
pulling the plug, canceling the network.
No, but
the archives are too good.
I talk about this with Rosenberg all the time.
Yeah.
What is the most you would pay? Sorry to digress, but this is an important.
No, I actually love this question. I think
what is the most you would pay for the network monthly? What's the threshold that you would pay?
Okay,
Mine will shock you.
I'm very on the record about the fact that I think that the network is too cheap. I think that it is a great deal. $9.99, I think, for getting the pay-per-views for free. And then all the content on there. There's services I pay for that I watch way less of, you know? I'm really big fan of the 24s. And then also the fact that I can go back to all the nitros and stuff.
But how much would you pay if they raise the price? What is the max you would pay?
All that being said, I'm trying to make some suspense here. All that being said, okay, lowering the gauge of thought. With all that being said, and thinking about how much how much I use it, I would be willing to pay. Can I split it? That's a question. Because people have my passwords.
It comes out of your checking account.
Okay. I would pay. Shit. That means realistically I have to steal pay-per-views.
You belong to Equinox?
Honestly, I would pay $50 a month.
$50? That's it?
$50 a month.
Oh, my God.
I mean, to be honest, whatever it costs.
$50 for a corned beef sandwich.
Whatever it costs, I would justify it. What's your price?
$350.
$350 a month you would pay for the network?
Yeah, I'd pay $350 a month.
Wow, that is a major endorsement.
Now that they have
huge reveal. I mean, you get that's fireworks.
Now that they've put
Pyro's back on cow, by the way, just letting you know.
That's mage. They've put the 1986 wrestling challenges on the network yesterday, which is the big, highest levs, dude.
That's why, you see, you're so much better. That's one thing you guys got to know about. When I go to Diverstein Ranch, and towers. Is it now a ranch because of COVID?
No, he Rosenberg was calling it Dipperland Ranch, which I deemed completely inappropriate.
Oh, man.
And it's back to Dipperstein Towers. And by the way, I'm working on Dipperstein Manor, which could come any day, frankly.
Really?
Yeah.
You're in the market.
Oh, yeah. Always.
Dipperstein Manor. What is the change in vibe of Dipperstein Manor to Dipperstein Tower?
It goes from Richard Jace to Rich, confirmed.
Oh, man.
No more, Mr. Nice Jew.
It's going to allow me to truly display my gargantuan collection of wrestling merchandise. Let's just
what? That. Wait, so yeah. You know what? You're rich, blah, blah, blah. You know, money. Although, by the way, you need to get a DiBiase belt in that house.
Sure. No problem.
Absolutely. I mean, that's
the money already for the network. That's the
The network's $10. You said you'd pay $350. The belt costs I think the belt's actually $340 exactly. I'm looking at the network right now. It works out perfect. But I'm saying, so you in Manor, Dipperstein Manor, are you going to have what, like a collectibles room?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying this is happening, but it could. But yes, I will have a collectibles room. In the next Dipperstein Towers, there will be a room that will shock you. It's not a Fig Heel room because there's no MOC for the DIP, but it's not a Fig Heel room, but it will be the room of the cinch.
Wow.
There'll be something.
Will it be a viewing / collectibles room? Like a dedicated.
I'm going to spend raccoons on it. It's going to hit different. You know, the vibes.
I cannot wait till you meet Mrs. Dipperstein. And she comes into the manor for the first time and you're like, she's like, let me look around the place. Like, what's that? The basement? You're like, we don't like get out. You're like, don't go in that room. there's a leak down there. You know what I mean?
Speaking of that, I would love to plug this thing. It's amazing what a change in profile picture on these dating apps will do to you. I have been doing very well on this, this new app called Locks Club.
Is that a Jewish thing?
Yeah, it's like the Jewish Raya.
You have to get approved. You have to be like kind of famous, or
yeah. Well, I mean, of course,
you got to send. Do you have to actually send like a picture of your bank account to get in this? Is it like that?
No, but like they make it very clear that it's not. You have to be at least Richard Jace.
All right, just so you guys listen. LA is a wild place. Okay, so. All right, so the network, you'd pay $350 because it means that much to your life, or because you just have money to spend. Because $350 is a lot, bro. Like, see, my thing is this,
the thing is this.
So my thing is this: is that I still have the old school mentality that the network is saving me money on pay per views, right?
Well, but if you're a UFC fan,
right?
Like I am,
right?
I'm a UFC fan at this point.
Yeah,
like. The pay-per-views are behind
like $80, right?
They're behind the paywall, which is crazy. If you have ESPN Plus,
right,
which I pay for, you should be able to get the pay-per-views for UFC for free, like you do on the WWE Network. Right. I have to pay a lot of money for ESPN Plus, and then I'm paying this exorbitant amount for something when, you know, I don't even know how long these match. I mean, I love a good knockout in the first round, but right. I mean, come on. I'm gonna order McGregor next week, and if McGregor punches out Poirier in one punch.
Wait, Connor's fighting next week?
Yeah. Saturday.
Is he? He's probably in the jabron zone at this point, right? For MMA fighting?
Absolutely not, dude. I mean,
he'll still be good? Like, this is a guy he could still beat?
He's the highest level. Yeah.
No, I mean, I adore him. He's one of the greatest pro wrestlers out there. But okay, so we'll definitely get a McGregor Mania match, right? No question.
I absolutely think we will, yes.
We definitely. It's just because there's just too much money on the table. You know what I mean?
Velasquez fight, you know, it's like, who cares?
Right. I'm saying, what would be your McGregor Mania beef feud?
Rollins.
That would be great. Rollins McGregor. Rousey. Yo, Rousey would be sick, actually. They could sell that, but they'll never do Intergender. Let's just jump into Mania for a second. So it was announced the other day in the, you know, let's just, this could distract us forever, but this announcement that they made was the most incoherent, biggest piece of shit thing I ever saw. It's just one of those things I know, like, I come off as, because, like, this is, like, where I come off as, like, a I don't know, I guess semi-pretentious because I am a writer and you're like, and I'm a comedian. This was like, I guess, a comedy sketch. But if you watch it, it has no clear-cut comedy idea. It's really all over the place. And it's just like, I can't believe WWE, this company that I love so much, who didn't hire me as a writer, also would approve this thing. Like, what does this thing look like on paper? Did you watch it, Dipperstein?
I couldn't watch it.
It was so bad. So the first joke of it is like, hey, I'm Triple H and I'm Stephanie McMahon, but I'm not really. We're different announcers in disguise. And you're like, no one cares. Like, you guys get over yourselves. You in disguises like that. Like, no one. No. Do you agree? It was like, it's
supposed to. I didn't watch it. I heard it was insanely bad and I didn't watch it. I couldn't. I'm avoiding things like this now. I'm alone.
Yeah.
Alone in Dipperstein Towers. It's depressing. I can't be more depressed.
So here I am with my thoughts of you.
Just get us more into your feelings here.
In this world I've left
me. Are you eating
All I'm eating today is a Quest bar. I mean, I'm starving.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You got to get big. I just had a protein shake. But here's the deal. Hey. I squat 300 today coming back from the vid. All right.
I've never squatted anything in my life.
Don't worry, I'll be squatting at the Dipperstein Manor, but folks. But so, listen, I want to say, so we're at a, so yeah. So anyway, this thing, it's incoherent. That being said, my point, the reason I want to bring this up is that if you've seen this thing and you're like, it was fun, it was silly. I agree. Most people are just going to watch it and be like, it's fun, silly. I'm just saying, as someone who writes stuff and writes comedy and has performed and acted comedy for a long time, like when you see that, you're like, why is this so bad? Why? Like, why? How? Who approved this thing? And that's my thought. But let's just get into the crux of it. Is Mania will be April 10th and 11th, 2021, confirmed at the Raymond James Stadium, which is in Tampa Bay, which by the way, I still have a flight credit from Delta to Tampa. I have a round trip ticket through Tampa with Delta already.
Yeah.
So
I'm gonna go.
So that's my question. Are you gonna go? I'm hearing 30% capacity both nights. That's what I'm hearing.
I will be there for both nights if there's 30% capacity. Absolutely.
I mean, that's the thing. Is like I was talking to a couple people about this, and my thought was, I said, listen, I totally respect what people's decisions are. You got to do what makes you feel safe. All that being said, I'll be there on the 10th, and I will be there on the 11th. I don't know what to tell you.
I'll be safe 1,000%. You know, I'm going to be as safe, you know, but I'll do all.
I mean, I'll probably have antibodies.
I'll do all quarantining. I'll do everything I need to do, but hopefully I will have the vaccine by then. But if Mania is going to have a crowd, I'm not saying I'm going to 100% go, but I don't know how I would mentally avoid it, frankly.
I don't know how I could, me either. I already have a ticket to Tampa. Anyway, but so you like, okay.
I'll be in Dallas, I'll tell you that.
We'll see where we are. So then the next year is going back to Dallas. And then WWE was just basically like, we're not even fucking with LA for at least 2 years. They're like, we're not even going to bother with that place. You know, Vince was just like, give it another year. Because he's like,
yeah.
He knows that he probably was so pissed at them for not letting him do it now.
Yeah. I'm telling you, big Dipperstein Towers party. In 2023, when WrestleMania is at SoFi, big. I mean, the Powers of Pain are going to be there. You know, the Orient Express will be there.
Oh my God.
That's right. The Berserker, Repo Man. They're all going to be there.
Give me the list. What's the rundown?
I got to tell you, I'll definitely invite Mantar. I'm going to invite Duke Drossy, the dumpster. He'll be there.
Absolutely.
I'll probably have Gilbert.
At least one of the Bushwhackers,
probably Butch, who always carried the team, frankly.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you know, yeah. I'll probably have like, I'll probably invite Tom McGee.
Yo, let me ask you something.
Yeah.
Were you going to have a big party this year when it was going to be in LA?
Yeah.
I mean, it's devastating to me that that's not happening. Like, cause the thing with Mania is about not happening is that like people don't get how much it is part of our conversation. Like me, you, Skyler, it always is like, yo, when's Mania? Like everything kind of revolves around going to Mania. So like when it doesn't happen, it's the whole year was a wash.
It's really, the one time of the year I really turn my phone, like I turn my phone off then. Like I don't
really
no phone. Yeah, no phone.
You tell your clients like, listen, I'm out this weekend. Don't ask why.
I do. Right. Yeah. It's the 1 week, you know, for Christmas break, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, any other break, it is what it is. But that weekend, you know, it's Dipperstein time.
Anyway, so yeah, so I mean, whatever. I'm excited to go. I'm hoping. I've been to Dallas. I've been to LA because I live there, and I've never been to Tampa, so I'm excited. But Tampa's marred by the fact that it's still going to be Vid Central. I mean, like literally, you know, you got to think about what it actually means to go to Tampa. Is that it's going to be a high percentage of COVID deniers, right? I mean, you're in Florida and like people are, you know, are you think everyone's going to be masking up there? I mean, it's, you know, it's wrestling fans.
From what I've seen in Florida, people are going and going.
Yo, I keep seeing pictures of wrestlers taking pictures of people. Like, you know, they're like, yo, I bumped into Jey Uso at the Applebee's. And it'll be like two people, no mask inside, fully just taking a picture with each other.
I have heard that Jey Uso is a big riblet guy. Loves riblet.
Oh, he's a huge riblet guy?
One of the biggest riblet guys in the industry going today.
I don't think I've ever eaten at Applebee's, so I don't think I have an item there to joke on.
That's my item.
I've never eaten an Applebee's.
I just handed you the joke.
I would have to say hamburger. I'd be like, I think he's a big hamburger fan. Then that wouldn't have been good.
I always loved the sampler from Applebee's. The mozzarella sticks, the wings. Everything about Applebee's worked for me.
Oh, you know what? Because you felt like you were part of the neighborhood, right?
There? I did. I felt like I was always invited there if I wanted.
You know, yeah. Applebee's had that ad where it was like, eating good in the neighborhood. Yeah, was like one of the ads they had was it was like the local like high school football coach, and he pops in to sit at the table, and then they all come over and they're like, happy retirement. Like everyone who works at Applebee's knows that the guy there, the football coach, just retired. Like, and then it's like, yo, like, I guess it's some version of when you're here, your family, but not Olive Garden.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's talk about wrestling. Let's talk about it. Where are you at? So,
listen. Yeah, I'll tell you where I'm at.
Overall and then we'll dive deep.
I'm not, it's such a hard question because I don't want to go crazy negative right now, even though that's kind of how I feel. I just don't, I'm not, I don't, you know, I do it on Cheap Heat. I'd say it's hard for me to.
Oh, how did I not plug Cheap Heat? Check out Cheap Heat Dipperstein. You can hear mostly on Cheap Heat. That was silly. I was too busy plugging mymedium.com. I apologize.
No. It just, you know, I'm not in a great place, yeah. Obviously. Mm-hmm. I don't agree with anything that's really going on except for Alexa Bliss.
Right.
I really like Carmella's one of my guys right now.
Yeah.
Although it feels like they've now shelved her, Jace. I mean, she's like on the sideline at this point now that Charlotte's back.
But they did that thing to her where you have your big comeback match and then you lose, you know?
I know, which was a terrible mistake.
Yeah.
Carmella absolutely should have went over once.
I'm a big Carmella, Mark. I've always been a fan of her.
I'm a big fan too. I'm a big fan.
My only beef with Carmella is that she cannot, as a wrestler, get the crowd going. Like, I've watched her at when she was in the
Her do anything.
Yeah.
You know, she could. She's I'm a Carmella Mark. I always have been. I think she's awesome. I don't know, man. It's been really hard.
Yeah.
For me, I can't even like describe to you three things I'm excited about right now. I'm at a loss. I got to tell you.
Can we think about it? Because we're actually in the road to WrestleMania right now. This is what I was thinking about yesterday. Because I was talking to, listeners of the pod on Discord or patrons of the pod. And so I was like messaging and like, I think I got the question. Someone was like, yo, Dan, like, who do you think is going to win the Rumble? And I was kind of like, I have no idea. Like, which is normally a good thing. But when I started thinking about it, I was like, they've made Roman Reigns so much stronger and more important than everybody, which he's doing cool shit. But it's like, I can't think of an opponent that would be really cool to wrestle him.
Well, everyone's saying it's going to be Daniel Bryan. The more fun thing, which is boring to me, I have no need for a Daniel Bryan Roman Reigns match with a build.
That's so funny because I was saying Daniel Bryan, but then I was like, oh, they just had him job to Cesaro, right?
I'm going to invent Yeah, but I think that was just to build Cesaro a little bit. I didn't feel that was like a rub or a bump or anything. But I will sit to Daniel Bryan. But Daniel Bryan is supposedly going to win the Royal Rumble, right, is what the current plan is. I have no interest in seeing him and Roman Reigns, even though I like both of them, but I have no interest in seeing them in the main event at WrestleMania. Not that WrestleMania is WrestleMania this year, but it's basically a big Raw or SmackDown. But I don't
Daniel Bryan hasn't earned it. He's not doing good work this year.
He's not
in the zone. He's back in like Seahawks Daniel Bryan. What I'm talking about, Seahawks Daniel Bryan, where it's like, oh, he's a guy who wears Seahawks colors. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he is back in Seahawks colors, Daniel Bryan. But it's a lot more fun to just talk about who we think the surprise entrance people will be.
Right. So you think that it's going to be Roman Reigns, Daniel Bryan? That's what you're saying? Lock that in?
Yeah.
All right, let's lock that in. And then it's going to be Drew Brock, right?
I think so.
Locked it in.
Is that what's happening? I don't know. Who cares about that?
It has to be. Because I feel like Goldberg, that match, I don't think they want Goldberg to lose to Drew. Because if they're going to try to keep going. So I think Brock will just come in and fucking kill them both.
I'd rather see Reigns Goldberg with
him. And then I think Elimination Chamber, you see a triple threat with them. You know?
If Heyman were to become a really big part of the storyline between Brock and Roman, then I would like to see that again.
Okay. I would like to say this, though. I am a big defender of Goldberg. I absolutely love Goldberg. And I know it's the least popular opinion ever. I'm just a fucking little Jewish kid always. I'm always like, I love how Goldberg is just like, he's just so fucking serious, and it feels authentic.
I can't even look at him.
Yeah. I would never defend why he should be there, but I just love Goldberg. You know,
it looks like the other night, it looked like he hit his head on the thing again. Did you see the dot in the middle of his head? It looked like a blood. I saw that. He's still doing that?
I said that was that's the Goldberg drip. It's drips from his forehead.
Here's the thing. He needs to dye the goatee black or brown because he looks like an old Jewish man.
Bro, you think you're gonna look anything like that when you're his age? Can we give him a little bit of credit? I mean,
I'll never make it to 54.
We're Goldberg's age. We're gonna look like trash, man. I mean, he looks amazing, actually. But yes, I agree. He's starting to be like liver spot Goldberg, you know what I mean? You're definitely seeing his age. So when he comes out and he's yelling, especially because he just like lost to Braun, so you kind of need to, honestly, if they want Goldberg to be like this, you have to protect him a little bit. Let's talk about, but who wins the fucking Rumble?
I think Daniel Bryan wins the Royal Rumble. Daniel Bryan wins the Rumble. I think this year, my prediction this year is that they go crazy with the trying out people. They're going to go crazy this year, okay? I think you're going to see Dabba Kato. I think you're going to see...
You're definitely going to see Dabba Kato.
Yeah. Dabba Kato is a lock.
He's a lock. Can we lock him in?
Yeah.
Dabba Kato locked in for the Rumble. You heard it here first.
I think...
giving entrance. I'll lock him in.
I pray and hope that Velveteen Dream gets locked in as well.
Oh, I mean, it's uncomfortable, but I'll lock it in. Velveteen Dream I don't know what to say about the guy. It's uncomfortable to watch. It was uncomfortable to watch the fact that he got caught messaging with a young boy, right? Young, but 17-year-old kid, right?
I don't know.
He got DM'd doing that. But my point is that WWE's punishment for him was to have him job in a Kushida program. They're like, yo, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I'd like to see him in the Rumble, man.
I know. The problem is that he's fucking great. Like, they need him. The thing is, like, Aleister Black.
I was just going to bring him up. He was my next lock.
Where?
Should we lock him in?
You think he's going to be in? You want to lock him in?
Okay. I want to lock him in.
All right, Aleister Black locked in for the Rumble. Arguably the best theme song that, by the way, he doesn't come out to anymore.
I know, it's insane. out of all the crappy theme songs they have that are generic and shit, yeah, they finally have one that's amazing and they cut it. It's so stupid. They're insane.
I know. They have an amazing song. So anyway, Aleister Black is, well, listen, I don't want to retread. We all agree. Midge, right? Like, big time, Aleister Black. They book him like absolute trash. They fire his wife. I mean, they couldn't do more wrong by this guy, you know? But he comes out with an eye patch. What?
They've wronged Aleister Black.
Yeah, they've wronged Aleister Black. They had a whole program of him being like, I'm just looking for fights. Like, the most player A, generic default player number one gimmick you can do. It's like, I'm sitting here and I'm looking for fights. Someone knock on my door and fight me. And you're like, this guy literally rises from his grave. His thing is, he comes up, he's like, his name's backward, and they're like, I'm looking to fight people. I want to punch them in the face. And you're like, okay, that's your plan for this guy? All right. And then he jobbed out to KO for a while.
The creativity is at the lowest. I mean, that was one of the low points.
So then he's gone. So then he comes back. He could win the Rumble, right?
No.
You don't. I mean, you think it's definitely Daniel Bryan?
Yeah. I know. Isn't that boring and terrible? Who else?
Who told else? You that? I didn't even hear that. People, you got your ears to the street?
No. I mean, that's what people are saying.
Yeah.
But who else could it be? They are lacking stars in such a way right now.
That's what I'm saying.
I'll put it this way.
Yeah.
The only person that I would enjoy seeing win the Royal Rumble is The Fiend. Okay?
Yeah. I would love that.
Is there anyone else? Okay. Who are the stars?
How come I didn't think about that? Well, he can't come out from under the ring, like reborn, or he comes out as like, maybe he comes out like the gobbledygooker egg and he hatches to come back.
No,
to life.
I think he would have to like come in at the end. It's like 28, yeah. 29, 30. And then like he hangs in the corner and then like, I don't know. That's the only cool thing that they can do.
Well, okay? He has to be resurrected from murder. So
he'll be resurrected. Okay.
From being murdered.
Maybe he'll be number 30. I have no idea, but here's what I'll say. You have Randy Orton not going to win. You have Drew McIntyre not going to win. You have, who are the other main eventers in wrestling? The Miz, not going to win. Morrison, obviously. You know, you have Sheamus not going to win. Lashley not winning. MVP not winning. Keith Lee.
Wow.
I think there's a...
Wait, Dipper, I just have to, retroactively lock those in. Hold on. All right, you get it. Sorry, that killed the flow.
Matt Riddle's not winning. Keith Lee, I think if I had to say,
Keith Lee has a chance of winning.
Who's the second person that could win? Okay, not be Daniel Bryan. It's Keith Lee. Okay, but I would say he's not going to win either. Okay, Keith Lee.
Yeah, I think.
I think Braun Strowman has been gone because he's injured. I think Strowman. I don't know what the state of his injury is, but I think that there's a chance that Strowman comes back and wins. I think that he's the third person.
He's not a bad pick. It's just not exciting. But lock nothing's exciting right now. Oh, lock that in?
Yeah. So, I mean, those are the three. It's either Daniel Bryan, Keith Lee, or Braun Strowman. It's not going to be Dabba Kato.
Or maybe Rollins?
It could be Rollins.
You don't think Rollins could go after McIntyre?
I'll put it this way. I have been saying on Cheap Heat for weeks now that Seth Rollins Messiah versus Roman Reigns tribal chief feud, if done correctly, which of course it won't be, but if done correctly, to me, heel versus heel would be an awesome build to a Mania match.
Do you know, I agree. I would love it for a heel. I've been jonesing for heel.
Who wouldn't want that? You'd be crazy not to want that.
Do you notice in WWE that they give gimmicks to wrestlers who I don't need them to have it, and then wrestlers who need gimmicks have nothing? So, like, for example, like Rollins. Love the Messiah stuff. It's awesome because Rollins could do anything. I also don't care if he was just architect heel Rollins. Like, I could ride that out for me. Like, I just love Seth Rollins so much. Like, if he was just his classic Rollins. Now, don't get me wrong. He pulls off anything he does. AJ Styles. I'm like, yo, AJ, like, just he's phenomenal. Like, I don't need him to like have a whole like he's trying to be funny, all that stuff. Like, I just need him to come out, put the arms out, and be like the number one best wrestler. Disagree?
I agree with
it's
that.
My show. Don't disagree.
No, I agree. I think Seth Rollins and AJ Styles are two wrestlers that don't need gimmicks that have.
But then right then I'm like, but there's so many other guys where you're like, all right, like Chad Gable was pretty interesting when he had the towel, like what Redding, Willing and Gable when he was in NXT. You know, like I didn't like it, but I was like, that's when I felt the most interested in him, when he was like, oh, I'm American Alpha. But now he like they turned him to Shorty G, and now I don't know what he's doing, you know.
Let me tell you, I would love to see MVP win the title or win the Rumble and then have him build the Hurt Business against, you know, versus Roman. That would be awesome.
How do you make the Hurt Business legitimate? They need a star in there. Like, they, you know, like they have a great crew, but Lashley can't ever really be someone you want to see at the top, right? So they needed like Ricochet or something. Or
we're going back and forth on this. Rosenberg thinks JBL would be an awesome person to legitimize them. He's right. He's right, by the way.
You mean JBL to be their leader?
Like JBL was the like pulling the strings or was the architect or something. I could also see Mark Henry being that role.
Oh, well, no, I love all that. Like, bringing a legend is great. I'm saying, like, who is their guy who can hold the strap?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, Lashley, but like, I'm not a Lashley fan, but you know, I don't know. I think MVP can hold it, dude. MVP can, is it? MVP is awesome.
No, MVP is killing it. There's no way. I know Rosenberg's a huge MVP MVP mark.
And I got news for you. He's a great guy.
He's one of the top guys. Many are saying, but I would say this is that he's a great guy, right, folks? He's a great. We love him, right, MVP folks? That's one of my favorite Trumpisms. Now that he's gone, we could joke, right?
Well, that was like the Anthony and Tamanic like impression of Trump.
Yeah.
You know.
I do.
You know him, right?
Of course, yeah. Anthony Tamanic is one of. If you don't know who he is, he's one of the funniest people on this planet. I performed with him for years. I actually was texting with him the other day because we posted a. I found this picture. I'm actually going to share it with you. Since like UCB shut down, people were kind of sharing pics, and I got this pic of. I'll share it with you in a second.
For my 35th birthday, for my 30th birthday, I wanted to hire Tamanic to come roast me as Trump.
Yeah, you told me that.
It was a fortune.
Don't you guys rep him?
Yeah, but I was still going to pay him.
Yeah, this is a pic of me. This was us doing improv in New York.
I think he's a certified genius.
Yeah, he's one of the greats. Here he is banging me from the back, folks, in an improv scene. Anyway.
He's a genius of the highest level.
Yeah, amazing, hilarious talent. Check him out. He has a podcast. I'll plug it. It's like Coffee with Tony. And yeah, he was doing these calls when Trump was started the voter fraud hotline. Did you see that? He was calling. He was calling as Ronald Reagan and as Trump. And he called as Trump just to check in. You know, to be like, we don't have more people. Like, he's like, we only, and they would think he's Trump. They'd be like, Mr. President, we're working as hard as we can to find you. And he's like, well, I mean, fraud. Here's a fraud. Write this one down. And he was giving him fraud. He's like, it's AOC. She walks in. She's not even supposed to be in Philadelphia. It was so funny. Check him out. He's the fucking funniest guy.
Yeah. He's a legend.
He is. Anyway, what were we talking about?
Who else, forgetting all we were talking about, who's going to win the Rumble, who else do you think that they'll, you know, randomly pull out, like they'll just put in the Rumble, who's from NXT, from something, who is going to be in the Rumble that, you know, you won't, you know, they're going to, you know, they always do it now. It's their thing.
The surprise entrance.
Are we getting Gargano in there? Are we getting Ciampa? Are we getting?
Yeah, yeah. But honestly, they've been doing that the past couple of years already.
I know.
Like,
I hate
right?
it, but yes.
Like Adam Cole has been in it, you know. It's kind of like not that cool because like NXT is not even a show.
It ruins them debut.
It ruins their debut, and then NXT is not even part of WWE universe, really, right? Like they don't mention it on main roster anymore. It used to be like NXT is coming up, which I've heard is because like Triple H and Vince are not getting, they don't agree on the directions of the shows, you know? And so, but like, it was like, oh, Survivor Series, you get him NXT, and then there's just no NXT this year. So then bringing them up is kind of just odd. Again, it's just that inconsistency with them. We care so much about it, and they are not fine-tuning it in the way to get ahead of us, you know? It's just sloppy, and we have to keep, like, suspending our disbelief. Suspend your disbelief. Suspend your disbelief again. Randy Orton lights his opponent on fire in the middle of the ring. No repercussions. No one cares. Triple H comes in the middle of the ring, casually mentions, remember when you murdered your opponent a couple weeks ago? Like, that's how this goes, you know?
I love seeing Triple H out there, though, this week. I did.
Triple H is so fucking good.
I love Triple H.
Yeah.
He's definitely
one of your guys. You want to officially make Triple H one of your guys?
That's right.
Wow, this is a huge occasion.
He's been one of my guys since.
Would you say that Triple H is
94?
Someone you idolize.
He has been. I was a big, you know, terrorizing guy. I know. I was into. I've been into him since WCW. I've been into him.
Listen, Triple H never totally tickled my fancies until he was in DX, and then I loved DX obviously because I was the right age for DX. Looking back at DX, you know, not particularly great, but you know, at the time, Suck It was amazing. Now, Triple H. Then he got into Tough Guy Alley. Triple H, you know, where this Triple H, where he was like Fedora and China, you know, denim jacket with a leather jacket underneath Triple H. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Backwards Sam Jackson hat, and then it was always like. The thing about Triple H, you can't deny. His whole like ruthless aggression run, all that, you can't deny that he looks like the champion. It's just kind of, he was just so jacked. His pageantry was always off the charts, but I never cared. And then he had so many matches I didn't give a shit about.
Like, I know, but
so many disappointing main events of Manias for me.
I know, but he's such a star, and he was
definitely.
The entrance with the spitting, it hits different.
Yeah, that's what he does great. And that's the thing about NXT as a show; it's produced incredibly.
The problem with NXT right now,
the frosting, but then they don't know how to build a character over there.
The problem with NXT right now is that there are too many bald men with mediocre builds. You know. I don't know the difference between Danny Burch and Oney Lorcan and half these guys the others, another tag team that is two bald men. Who are they? Who are
Imperium,
this?
Imperium.
There's Imperium. They got the Imperium. There's so many
such a good bald alteration.
White men in this organization that I don't even know who's. It's another match with four bald men.
Yeah,
that's the problem. Man. I'm not kidding. They're having the current NXT roster is, in my opinion, the worst it's been in years. Although I am enjoying the show and I watch it every week and whatever. Like, I don't know if Shotzi Blackheart can carry a women's division, and I'm not sure of that. And I'm not sure. Like,
my listeners love her.
I don't know why. I got to mean, is it the hair? I mean, what else is there to really chew off there? She's not a great wrestler. Is it the little
tank? I think she's fun, but I think like when you're watching NXT, you're looking for any semblance of character. You're like, oh, like give me anything, give me anything. Oh, tank. Like, that's how I feel.
Yeah, I mean, I could go on for hours about all the problems with NXT right now, but like the Pete Dunne with the two white bald men
and Pat McAfee,
the Pat McAfee thing where he's not there anymore is the most boring. I mean, Uyga, Volt, and Hemel. Okay,
Pete Dunne is full Jabron Zone for me.
He's not Jabron Zone, but like he's just
jacked up though. He looks good.
I don't know. His voice is like so like, you know, I don't know. He doesn't do it for me either. He never did. But the Undisputed Era at this point,
they missed their opportunity to come up.
They're my guys. They're all my guys. But the system. It's just not. It's not as. It's losing it. It's losing it.
So,
and Kyle O'Reilly's probably my favorite wrestler in NXT right now.
Kyle O'Reilly's great. Used to watch him at PWG. He would kill it every time. This is what I would say. Well, I think Finn Balor's a jabroni, but
I mean, paint your face, buddy. Okay, that's what we know you about. That's what
Finn Balor literally is. Just a he has it. I would say he has a book of like metaphors and catchphrases, and then he just chooses one every week. He's like, "Yo, they don't make the cloth I'm cut from anymore." You know what I'm saying? And yeah. Then it's just like, you know, it's like, when the cat's away, the mice will play. The cat is back. This is literally what he does. You're like, dude, you sound not scary at all.
He's not scary.
He looks like a million bucks. I love that he's the champion. It feels right.
He looks worse with the facial hair.
I think he looks awesome, but he came back to NXT. And it's just like, there's so many of these talents, but like, they just like don't get it, and they don't have the proper guidance and supervision. And I always point out, and I argue with people, like, you know, people that come on the show and stuff. And I argue, it makes it sound like tough, but I'll be like, you really are gonna get worked by Finn again? That he's gonna be good? Like, you're gonna get worked? That he's gonna make anything work? He doesn't know how to make stuff make sense. The coolest thing Finn ever did was Bullet Club, which you didn't watch. You didn't see any of it. And I'm sure, frankly, it was all frosting. It looked good. He had sick abs. He was in cosplay. He was doing two sweets. But did you ever see him cut a promo when he was the head of the Bullet Club? No.
Yeah, he's not one of my guys.
He's so deeply not one of my guys. I remember when I was at NXT in San Jose, and I was going to the merch stand, and I bought the KO duct tape shirt, you know?
Yeah, of course.
And I was like a second away from buying the Finn paint shirt. I was like, I like this shirt. And then I was going to buy it. I even asked him. I was like, yeah, what size? And then I was like, this guy, I have to be honest, is not one of my guys. I cannot make this purchase.
I'm glad you came to that conclusion before you spent the money.
It would have been 35s in the drink, bro. And I would never have recovered. Do you think I would have a fucking lavish studio like this here in sunny Burbank, California?
Buying a Finn Balor shirt at the merch stand is the same price as having a corned beef sandwich come up to Dipperstein Towers. What are your thoughts?
I'd rather have corned beef.
Yeah.
But listen, I get the attraction of Finn, but he's not something. I'm shocked about these. So, yo, Matt Cardona, okay? Random guy I'm bringing up.
Yeah.
Matt Cardona, who, totally nice guy. I've met him a bunch of times. Jacked up, Long Island dude. All good.
I'm dying to be on his podcast, the Major Fig Pod.
Have you seen it? Is it good?
Yeah. I mean, I'm
your major fake guy.
I'm in LJN collection mode right now, just so you know. I don't know if you you knew that.
I didn't know that. That didn't come through my. That's weird. I have my Dipperstein ticker going, and it didn't pop up. But it didn't see the Dipperstein ticker. Dipperstein Manor, there were some mentions of your price range for the Manor, which I thought was, you know, a breach of privacy. But this is what I would say is Matt Cardona, like, he's an example of a guy who doesn't get it, like, to me. Like, I love the guy. I have a deep respect for the dude. I loved when he won the IC title. I was in the house. That was really cool. I love his. He's such a mark, which I love. He's a wrestler and a mark. It's beautiful. But, like, he comes at ROH. This is his big moment this week. He debuts at the Impact pay-per-view. And someone sent me this promo. I'm watching it. I'm like, this is your moment to... And it's fucking terrible. You're like, did you put no thought into the fact that, like, this is your redefining moment, you know? And you're like, it's so frustrating. He's like, yo, my thing is that I'm always ready. And that's more than a catchphrase. And it's like, okay, then what is it? It's like, I'm, just so you know, I'm always ready. It doesn't just mean to wrestle. So I mean, you're always ready, like, meaning, like, your wife is like, he's like, honey, are you dressed? He's like, oh, you know, I'm always ready. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, put it together. Have a gimmick. Try something.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm a fan, you know. I just don't know what...
Shit, he's not going to have me on the pod now, right?
He's not one.
I'll have to delete that.
Look, I don't know. I'm a fan. I just don't... I don't know, man. I agree. He's never had his day in court.
Okay, we said we were going to talk about AEW. I love AEW. I absolutely love AEW. I love AEW. I'll tell you, my relationship with AEW is, I look at it, it reminds me of, like, myself in UCB basement performing, like, in New York, you know, when I was coming up, and it was like, yeah, this place is not perfect. The production value here is not great. It might drip pipes from the ceiling. Your seat might break in the middle of the show. But like, when you fully get in the zone there, you know, people here are like, love what they're doing. They believe what they're doing. And it has that indie vibe to it. And that's what I like about AEW. And a lot of people's complaints at AEW feel to me are pointing out that it's rougher on the edges. And it doesn't bother me personally as much. So curious where you're at on that.
Well, guess what? I also love AEW.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I will tell you that my love for it was lowered one percentage point by the Britt Baker game show or talk show this week.
You didn't like it?
It was the worst thing I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, I liked it.
It's impossible to like that. Well, how could you like that?
Well, I like it. It kind of plays perfectly into the thing I just said. I like it conceptually a lot. But then it definitely fell apart. Once Cody showed up, she insulted him, and then after that, it fell apart.
Go back and watch it. She right. said the word "huge" 11 times during the broadcast. The word
oh, really?
I have a huge guest. What a huge week! This is a huge match. It was ridiculous.
That's
but anyway,
because it's not a stiff. It's not stiff.
She needed 10% a little bit more scripting on that promo. That was the worst segment I think I've ever seen in my life. But in general,
was it like better or worse than the Ding Dong Hello Show?
It was better than the Ding Dong Hello Show.
Ding Dong!
The Ding Dong Hello Show was literally nothing. It was nothing.
It was nothing. It was just a segment.
There was no theme to it.
Well, they were going for a loose 90s sitcom theme. Very loose. Dude,
there was nothing. It was walk through
it was a door. No, this I can't. I'm not defending it. I just, Bailey's kind of growing on me, but I'm not a huge fan of Bailey's. You know what I mean? She's kind of just growing on me because I just think Ding Dong is funny. It's a funny thing to say, you know? Ding Dong! Like, it's funny, but it's not a gimmick, you know?
It was horrendous. Yeah. Anyway, I'm loving most of what AEW is doing right now. I would say that no matter what the Inner Circle does, they can do no wrong.
Yeah.
The promo even this week, which was super simple, talking about who's going to be the best tag team. I mean, that was even well done. Jericho, you could say whatever you want about his body, his work rate, his terrible commentary. But at the end of the day, dude,
I love it.
I don't mind it either.
The Jericho commentary, that's what he does. Like, I actually think I confused you there. I actually don't like his commentary. I like his commentary. It's confusing. It's similar to like, he says really funny shit. Sometimes it's fun, but he also sells out segments also with being too silly. Yeah.
You know what? He does, but he's fun. He works. He gets it. He knows what to do to evoke emotion in wrestling. He's a professional. MJF is Jericho in training. And I'm not saying I love the other guys that much, but they're great foils for, you know, the Jericho stuff and all that's great. I love the wrestling itself.
You like that MJF works out at my mom's gym in Plainview?
What's that?
Do you like that MJF works out at my mom's gym in Plainview, Long Island?
I'm totally starstruck by MJF and I want him to come to a
pass. I told you I worked out next to him at my mom's gym, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I want him to bring the Hero set to my Passover Seder. That's what I'm looking for.
Do you think if you were at the Passover table with MJF. Do you think he would be like, would you think it'd be just like super chill and nice? Or like, have you talked to him ever?
No, I'm dying to meet him.
So he was next to me in the gym working out. We're both lifting at my mom's gym in Plainview, New York. And,
we've talked about this before.
No, I know. We did talk about it. I 100% remember telling you, but I want to just say what I'm saying is that if I talked to him, would he hit me with kayfabe? Did I ask you that?
I don't know. It's a great question, though.
So I was kind of scared of him, to be honest, because I was there. My dad was there, and he was like, go talk to him. And I was like, you don't understand. This is like one of the wrestlers who you don't want to talk to. You might not want to talk to. He might like do something to legit make me angry, you know what I mean, in kayfabe, you know?
Your dad was like, Daniel, Daniel, go talk to him.
Which
go
hilarious fact that happened when I was like 8 and we bumped into Ralph Macchio in Montauk and my dad.
No.
Yeah.
Holy
Primo God. Mach. Rusev Machka.
What was he doing there?
We were at the, you know, in Montauk, the like the mini golf place.
No.
This okay. Well, if you went to Montauk growing up, you just you're on a Long Island guy, so you don't know shit about Montauk.
I mean, I went to Hofstra.
What are you, an LBI guy?
I'm a nothing. I'm a Jersey Shore guy. I'm a Margate Ventnor guy. But like, I'm not even that guy. I'm a guy that went. I'm not one of those guys.
Your guy went, and he's continued to keep going and going.
You think I'm going and going in Ventnor?
He went. He's going, and he's still going. This guy.
I went and went.
You went and went, and now he goes and goes.
That's right.
Yo, bro. So I interrupt you a million times. MJF, you love what he's doing. He's mini Jericho.
I the wrestling itself, the work rate. I'm just giving an example. If you watch the 8-man tag from 2 weeks ago with Jack Evans and Angelico and the Young Bucks or whatever, the wrestling in that match is there was moves I've never seen in my. I've been watching wrestling for 30 years. There's moves Jack Evans did. I've never even seen the moves.
Can I tell you about Angelico quick?
Yeah,
one of my guys.
Like the man.
Huh? One of my guys.
Yeah.
His entrance is so deeply one of my guys. Have you noticed the way he walks out?
He's the man, dude. Jim and Jack Evans doesn't look great. But...
H. This is their music. Two. And when he entered, have you noticed this or not? He goes.
Yeah, I think he does.
It's so fucking good. Yo, first off, they call themselves the last of the true hybrids. What is that?
I love them. Jack Evans doesn't look good, though. He doesn't look great.
Well, Jack Evans is like 40. No, I mean, that's not that old, but like Jack Evans was in Wrestling Society X. Do you remember that show?
Yeah, of course.
He was on that. Like, he's been wrestling a long time, that dude.
Yeah.
But and Helico is a fucking star as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I mean, he's the man, dude. He looks great. Yeah. He wrestles great. But just the wrestling itself, I could fast forward through all these matches on Raw and SmackDown and on AEW. Yeah. I'm like, I'm gonna watch this match. This is gonna be a great match. See, I gotta tell you say whatever you want about the Young Bucks, they're incredible. Okay, they're so great.
I adore the Young Bucks.
I mean, people are like, oh, they're
one of my guys. Two of my guys.
They're corny. Their entry there. Their merch sucks. Their gear sucks. Let me tell you something. They are mage of the highest level.
I
hate wrestlers.
Dude, I'm so glad I had you on the podcast just for this. Because the fucking bad mouthing of the Young Bucks who legit say, yo, we changed the business and actually did. I mean, show some fucking respect to these guys. Now, that being said, are they bad actors on the show? Absolutely.
I think they're like.
But I don't want that from them. I don't even care.
But I care about bad acting, but they're purposely bad. I think their gimmick is to like be passive about it.
Oh, you're giving them more credit than I do, but yeah.
I don't know. I'm a huge fan. I love Hangman Page. I think the Kenny Omega Good Brother reunion thing that they're doing now. Love it. Entertainment war.
Kenny's totally back on track. The only thing he needs is better pants, and then he'll be in the zone.
I like his pants. I would wear those pants.
No. I hate them.
You hate the pants.
I hate the pants.
But everything else,
but
you know,
he has Murder some mage pants.
Is great. I enjoy Jim Ross and Tony Giovanni. I enjoy everything they're doing. And by the way, people describe it as rough around the edges. I don't even agree.
We couldn't be more in step here. It's not rough around the edges. It's a live wrestling show. So it's not supposed to be perfect. You don't want. I said it like this, man. You might appreciate this. I know I'm repeating this for the listeners, but Dipperstein hasn't heard this. Is like I'm saying UCB. I talked about that. We would perform there in the shitty basement, but the line was around the corner because people knew you'd get to see guys like Intaminic down there. You know you're seeing the funniest guys. There's another theater called the Pit. You know the Pit in New York.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have fucking ushers with red ties, black shirts. They have a beautiful bar when you walk in. It's UCB runoff, though. Jabron Zone Central. You go there, like, you could buy stage time there. So it's like, yeah, fine, it looks great. The production value's it. That's what NXT is to me. Like, not that you could buy it. Like, they sign good people. But I'm saying, like, Who cares? Like, AEW, I don't need it to, like, look perfect. It's fucking, I want to see great characters. Great characters. It's it.
It looks pretty much perfect, dude. I don't even know what people you're even talking about. Oh, well, the camera is back a little bit farther than WWE, which right. makes it look a little bit more dramatic and a little bit more important.
Well, people complain that they cut the commercial during like at weird times.
I know. I don't care for that either. I that is a problem.
Yeah. That and also, yeah, it's been getting a lot better. To me, it's, I don't know. I love it. I also love Tony Khan is so deeply one of my guys. The fact that he bought Sting, he just goes like, you know what? I have $7 billion. I'm just going to go buy Sting and I'm going to have snow. I'm going to buy, give me some snow machines and I'm buying Sting. He's the fucking man.
The thing with the sting of it all, which I was about to bring up. The
thing is?
The thing is this.
Yeah.
It's, I love Darby Allin more than life itself.
Bro. God, we're so on the same page. Adore Darby. Adore.
Yeah, I love the protege thing, but it's time to do a little bit more with Sting. Like, I need something. I need something more than just like a bat and a stare and a walk. I mean,
He's done nothing.
I need one little thing. I need one more thing.
Two months of nothing.
Too far with the nothing.
Well, the thing about Sting is similar to when we're talking about Edge's music, where Edge's music is like, this song's gonna be hardcore, it's gonna rock your fucking dick off, and then it goes, on this day, Edge is like, oh my god, oh, and you're like, this is God, oh my god, he's so badass, his face is painted, he has a bat, and then he gets on the microphone and he's like, hey everybody!
Right.
What's up? It's me, Sting. It's awesome to be here. I'm Sting. Don't you remember me? Hey, guys, give it up for Tony Schiavone.
I hate it.
And you're like, yo, Sting, you realize you look like a demon. You look like you're a face of a demon.
That was ridiculous. I hated that, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, I was stupid, so I hated that.
I love AEW. I wish they'd go to Monday nights. It would be so fucking fun. Wouldn't that be so fun?
It'd be crazy.
It would be so. Do people care? That's the thing. Is like people are always like they gotta go to Mondays, Monday Night Wars, like blah blah blah. Like, is it like that anymore? Because right now you have Wednesday Night Wars, which is like not a thing. NXT is a way more jabron of a show. I if you tell me that you like enjoy NXT more than AEW on a weekly basis, that is sus as fuck to me. That is sus. I mean, what are you? You're just a natural contrarian. I think, you know.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really agree. I agree. I'm definitely into AEW right now.
Man. You Jake Atlas Mark or?
No.
Where are you at on Damian Priest?
Not a fan.
You don't like that he's
By the way, he's debuting at Rumble. Confirmed.
Yeah, confirmed. That they're already saying he was actually they said they were going to put him in the Reigns Owens storyline. And then they decided not to.
It's so crazy. I said this on. Sorry, I'm repeating GP things, but
that's fine. I didn't listen.
It's so ridiculous that
I gotta listen. Yeah.
Out of all the things they can do, and all the come ups that they can do, Damian Priest is the one they think is the right thing to do. This is what wrestling needs, Damian Priest. I mean, what is this? They're crazy.
Damian Priest.
I like Damian Priest.
I'll say about my thing about Damian Priest. See, the thing is this, Damian Priest, okay?
I'll see, the thing is this.
So the thing with Damian Priest is that he looks awesome.
He does?
Yeah, to me, he looks awesome. His gear is always cool, but his voice is cool. And when he was, he gives razor's edges, which wrestlers don't ever do.
I like the razor's edge.
When he won the Northern State. That's the most
Northern
Long Island. That's the Long Island version of that title, the Northern State. When he won the Northern State title, everyone always takes a picture where they're just shaking Triple H's hand, and he was in a hot tub with two ladies, which I loved. You know,
yeah,
I like that. He drives a Dodge Charger. I think that's cool. He has like that low Scott Hall voice. He looks like a fucking $1 million, but he used to be called Punishment Martinez. Which was way cooler. He's built from New York City, but he shoots bow and arrows. What?
Because, you know. I would tell you that he has a great look, but he needs to do something with his teeth. He has terrible teeth.
You notice the teeth more than I do. You always point out the bad teeth.
Yeah, because it's
Well, you're on television. You do something.
You like Roman's teeth?
Love them.
Beautiful. You love the pearly whites.
I like when I like appropriate teeth for the person. Yeah. If he's supposed to be some playboy with, you know, in hanging out with a bunch of women in a hot tub, he should have nicer teeth.
I agree. All right, Dipperstein, one more thing that I want, we said we were going to talk about. Okay.
Yeah.
And then I'll bid you adieu.
Uh-huh. I see.
I see. You were saying, what do we show people?
Yeah. It's like, I've socially distanced, watched wrestling with, you know, some people over the hall.
Well, you have a beautiful outdoor viewing area with a TV.
I do.
Yeah,
I do. But, you know, I think it's just an interesting topic to discuss is like, yeah. You know, what do you show people when they want you to show them something with wrestling? And like, it's like, what are the four or five matches that you show them to like legitimize it for them?
I'll say this.
I have mine that are good, my go-tos, but I'm curious.
Mine are so random that you're going to be like, what's wrong with you? But I'll say this. I've given up on this behavior because
really?
I find that like whenever I put on wrestling to someone who's not a fan, it's just awkward for me. It's like they think it's stupid and I think it's amazing. And then I find myself like I've even had moments before where I'm like, oh, it gets better later. But I think it's in my head, I'm like, it's good right now, you know, and like, fuck you, you know. So like I've given up on that. I'm like, if you want to watch it, all good. But like. Don't expect me to sell you on this thing. You know.
But when when you've smoked a joint and you're like, you know, like,
Oh my God,
like, what is that painting? Because, you know, I have the amazing extra cooler, you know, painting in my house, piece of art. Of Andre. People are like, you know, what is that, bro?
It's a major statement. I'll tell you recent things.
I show them what that is.
You show them WrestleMania 3?
It's one of them, but it's not all. Tell me what your matches are.
So I'll just go through recent things that have actually happened. So I had two friends that I wanted to show some wrestling to. I know that they're big horror fans, you know? And so I was like, yo, guys, let me show you something. And what did I show them? I showed them The Fiend. I showed them Fiend entering in the Thunderdome. Not a match.
Interesting.
Not a match. I showed them the Thunderdome, showing them like The Fiend entering. And then I think I showed them one of the matches that was red with the full red light. Maybe I showed them when he won the title in against Rollins in Saudi. You know?
This is what you're showing people?
That was one time I showed them because I was like, this guy's kind of like a Kruger hybrid. I was like, Tom Savini made his mask, stuff like that.
Chamber of Horrors, you should show them.
I will. I'll show them next time.
Yeah.
What's Chamber of Horrors?
91. Halloween Havoc 91, the Chamber of Horrors match.
Havoc 91. I mean, dude, you really are digging on the network. It's beautiful.
I'm digging. That's my favorite. It's my favorite.
I watched the Halloween.
WCW ever.
I watched that with you. Didn't I watch a Hollywood Havoc? The one where Bobby Roode's in the mask? No, not Bobby Roode. Rick Roode is in the mask. Remember that?
Yeah. Do I remember it? Of course.
Yeah. I don't have encyclopedic knowledge of all the old shit like you do.
Yeah.
I can tell you anything that happened in Attitude Era Raw, though.
Watching those recently, too. But what else do you show people?
Okay. Another thing I've showed people. Here's a match. That's random, okay, that I think is a great match to show people. It's from Rumble 2014, I want to say. Triple threat match between Brock, Cena, and Rollins.
Yeah.
Sick match. Ugh. That's a fucking great match.
Are you nuts?
You see, I'm talking about stuff that people will actually enjoy.
But these are not epic things.
No, they're not epic things. I've also showed people Rollins cash it at Mania.
Oh, God. I was there.
I was there as well. I mean, ironically, COVID beat my streak of going to Mania. What are you showing people?
So I show people the following matches.
Because I also show people off.
My whole thing is like, I want people to know, like, it's violent and like, it's real. Uh-huh. That's like part of my thing. Right. Like, guys, you think this is fake? Watch this. The number one match that I always turn on for people is JBL versus Eddie Guerrero at Judgment Day 04.
Which I've watched recently because you told me to, and that's the most bloody match I've ever seen in my life.
The most bloody match in the history of wrestling, and I in mainstream wrestling.
Nice racist lead up to it also.
And it is something that is indescribably violent. It is the most insane. It made me an Eddie Guerrero fan. That's the match that made me a fan.
Yeah.
And it's just when he cuts that artery in his forehead and the blood is dripping all over his body, and
it's too much.
And it's, I loved it. So I show people that, and they people's jaw drop to the floor.
You know what I love about that match? I love JBL's bod in that match.
Well, he has the thing pulled all the way up to his
Yeah, body. Yeah. I love JB. I feel like he has the best body for that gimmick, you know?
Yeah.
Or like just privileged white guy, like whatever, you know?
Yeah.
I love that. It's beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's a great match to show people. I also show people, by the way, Foley Taker off the cage.
That was my next.
That is it. That's it.
Yeah, because it's just like, oh my god, I can't believe what I'm seeing.
Yeah, you're like you because that one you could show people and relax because you know it's gonna have a moment where they're gonna be wowed. You know.
Yeah, there's that. I show people Mania 3. People don't understand the Savage Steamboat, like the significance of that.
They're not gonna get it.
But showing them like what it felt like to see Hogan and Andre in the ring, like face to face, that I show people. And I also show people the I Quit match when he gets beaten in the head that would be on the mat. You know, Foley in the head million times at Rumble.
That's when he has it recorded, right? One thing I remember about that match, I remember watching it live, and they have handcuffs that have like so much slack. You know, they have handcuffs that have Foley can't get his arms together. So they have to make handcuffs that have like a 8-inch chain between the cuffs, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are the matches. I mean, I would say, you know, those are the ones I've also.
Those are great.
The Rock and Austin in 02 at 18. I show people that. That's Rosenberg's go-to. That's like Rosenberg's favorite.
Rock match. Austin 18?
Yeah, at 18.
Is it 17?
Is it 17?
Yeah, they go 15, 17, and retire at 19. Oh, no, 20. Then Stone Cold retires at 20.
No, right? Not Austin. I meant Hogan Rock.
Oh, Hogan Rock's 18, yeah. X8. It's not 18, it's
X8. It's Hogan. Yeah. that's a big – the crowd is hot.
Yo, Hogan – so that's actually the match I would – that's probably the match I would turn on. I rewatched that match recently, Hogan – WrestleMania 18, Hogan versus The Rock. And that crowd is the hottest crowd in anything I've ever seen ever. As a matter of fact, the hottest
crowd ever.
They're barely wrestling. Like, Hogan can't even wrestle at that point at all. And they go nuts for everything. That match, that is so amazing. Just that stare down is so sick. That was supposed to be Stone Cold, right? That was the whole story. And then Stone Cold quit. And then they gave him Scott Hall.
Yeah. I would love to have some listeners write in about what do they show non-wrestling people. I would love to hear from the universe.
Great. Post it in the Facebook group. What matches do you show? People? I mean, your matches are way better. I haven't really thought this through. Again, you could tell because of my attitude towards it, which is like, I'm like, if you don't get, I really have like this militant attitude of like, you know, and that kind of comes through in my article that I wrote also on Medium, danblack.medium.com, because I'm like, yo, wrestling's good. Like, even this morning, there was a guy, someone mentioned that I was at my gym, and this guy was like, he was like, yo, it's amazing you like it. I haven't liked it since I'm a kid. And I'm just like, my brain doesn't go like, I got to convert this guy back. Or, yo, I'll show you. It's actually good now. My brain's like, this guy, fuck this guy. He doesn't get it. This guy doesn't get it. You know what I mean? And I also find not that many people in my life want to see wrestling.
People are like fat. People who like, I don't see that often.
Yeah.
Or like that have never watched wrestling with me. Do, in my opinion, maybe I'm just a narcissist, but feel like Luger? It's like kind of a novelty to like watch wrestling with me because they know I love it and they can't understand why.
Right.
And so, you know, it's just, I think it's cool to know what people show other people. And I'm down for any recommendations.
But those are amazing. I'm glad you brought this up because those are great. Those are great picks.
Yeah.
Those are, yeah. The
because when people see Eddie Guerrero bleed like that, they're like, oh my God, like, is he going to die? And by the way, some people love that to see that. Some people are like, I can't watch this anymore. To me, I'm like, this is the toughest guy on earth.
That's the one you lead off with? That's your lead off?
It depends. No. I'll be like watching Raw or like I'm watching whatever. And like someone will get a chair shot and they're like, oh my God, I can't believe like that must hurt. And I'm like, you want to see what they used to do?
Yeah.
You know? So that's kind of where that comes from.
I like that. All right, Dipperstein, before we go, what's the merch? I didn't ask you what merch you're rocking.
Oh my God. I mean, shout out to
Ted.
Your Teddy Hirsch, Mr. Wrestling for Sale. I mean, he found me the most stunningly gorgeous Survivor Series 89 long sleeve. It is so thin and so comfortable, and it fits me in such a beautiful way that I could wear. I mean, this should go be in the Met Gala. This outfit that I'm wearing. This event to me is a sacred event. It's one of my favorite events. It's at the peak of May of like when that roster in like 89, early 90 was so strong and so colorful and so amazing. And my love for that era is represented in this amazing shirt that I'm wearing.
That's a great shirt. Again. Survivor Series. That's
at great. Wrestling for Sale.
Beautiful. I got this from Wrestling for Sale, but this is just a NWO shirt. Nothing special.
It's a beautiful shirt. I can't wait for you to come see in 2 weeks. I am having this incredible, beautiful piece that Sam Evans made that I bought framed in a
Jack Evans.
What's that?
It's Jack Evans made it.
It's Jack Evans' brother, Sam Evans. I don't know if anyone has ever seen the artist, you know, Sam Evans' wrestling work. It is the highest level on Instagram. Check it out. But I have a new Sam Evans piece that is going to be put up in a wall in my home that is being framed. It's going to be here in 2 weeks, and I'm very excited for it.
Is that your third custom wrestling painting?
It's my second, but I got to be honest with you. I'm going all in. I'm like, people are like, Dipperstein, when a woman moves into your house, eventually they're going to make you take that down. I got to tell you, it's not coming down. Okay. All right. That's a prerequisite for living with me is that you have to deal with my wrestling art. I'm going to go all in.
I would say this. I think you'll find a healthy amount of suitors out there who will like the piece you have because yours are actually art. It's not just like posters for Backlash 2001.
No.
You have actual pieces of art that are they're actually really well done and nice. You know.
Yeah. I mean, I'm gonna. Oh man, I'm gonna have my own art gallery in the next Dipperstein Towers. It's just gonna be all wrestling art. It's gonna
just be like full gallery.
Yeah, full gallery. Yeah.
100%. Wow. Unbelievable. Yeah. Dipperstein, I need to eat. We had a great conversation.
I'm gonna bring it to make you a turkey sandwich.
You want? Are you gonna travel it in pieces?
What about, what do you think? I'd put it all together and travel it to your house? What are you, nuts? Or maybe I would, the ever popular, the always annoying, finishing a delivery nearby.
Well, I didn't even.
I hate that.
That's so annoying.
Oh, yeah.
I don't like that. Anyway, how do we, you know how we say, let me do one quick croon. Ready? All right, everybody. All right, here we go. Had a dream I couldn't make it. Now there's nothing dragging me down, baby. I barely know the words on that.
Let me light a cigar while you.
We got to get Skylar Astin to sing us a croon version of Edge Metalingus on this day.
I want a Skylar Astin sings the hits, and it's all from every era. The Big Boss Man theme would be great. You know,
is there even words?
If you ever take a trip down and come.
Wait, how does this song start? Isn't there like he's a boss man?
No, it's
what is it?
If you ever take a trip down and come, County Jerk. You ever read the sign?
I don't remember the Boss Man song.
That's the song.
Well, I only know Attitude Era, Boss Man, SWAT Team, Boss Man song. Dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. Yep. Didn't he go like, I'm a boss, man? Is this music?
No.
Is it wasn't that. But I'm saying there was something before his song, or maybe I'm thinking about a different wrestler.
Oh boy. What anyway. About the Slick Akeem, you know, the Slick theme?
I don't know.
That was too rappy for it to be crooned properly.
How about this? How about this one? It'd be good. Yeah. All right. Yeah, put a little more triple sec in my bourbon. All right, everybody, let's do it. They don't want none. They don't want none. I don't know what the words is without the song.
Oh, yeah.
He's a southern boy. Ain't nobody breaking this red neck. Quick crack, folks.
Hey.
Anyway, all right.
I love comic books.
Man, a little Don Callis. Just a great quote from one of the greats, Don Callis.
I love comic books.
All right, anyway. So, Dipperstein. Thank you for coming on, Cal, man. Dude, it was great fucking hanging out and talking to you.
You're welcome.
This was great. And check Dipperstein out. I don't know why I didn't say this at the top of the show. I apologize. On Cheap Heat, you've been on there a lot recently. With,
and I'm like every week now.
Sweet, sweet Peter Rosenberg. Who
that guy, Greg, come on.
Obviously, it's that guy, Greg, on the show. That guy, Greg, is great. Dude, you guys, you know, come on. You know, these guys are doing great work over there. Are you on there most weeks now?
I'm on every week now.
Right. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And we'll have you back. We'll have to do an episode.
I want to hang in the cow suite.
You want to sit on the casting couch?
It kind of looks like that back there.
I know. You'll be in here sooner rather than later, my friend.
Nice.
Once I get the rapid testing going over here, you know, it's going to be a mage.
You should have rapid testing over there.
We should. I mean, yeah, I test before. I don't want to infect my microphone. No, everyone, check out my article. Donald Trump worked himself into a shoot. It's a think piece about the psychology of wrestling and how we live in a world of wrestlers now, and how wrestling fans are more equipped to navigate the era of pageantry and social media. Check it out. More articles to come. You can subscribe in there. It'll tell you. It's danblackattack.medium.com, or just Google Trump worked himself into a shoot, Dan Black, and you'll find it. And also the links in my Instagram, at Dan Black Attack. Remember, guys, if you dig what we're doing here, we gave you free bonus content today, patreon.com/comedians of wrestling. Get access to our bonus episodes. Every Friday, we put out AEW NXT episode with Nick Tullo, the Supermark. And we hang out in the Kowloon Thunderdome every single month. And we watch a pay-per-view this month. We'll be watching January 31st over Zoom. And we'll all be watching Royal Rumble together if you're in the Zoom Thunderdome Club on Patreon. Also, I'll announce this mainly on the main pod, but now the Cow Discord is live. Talk to me about wrestling all hours of the day. You can message me, and we'll be going and going. It'll be fantastic. I was talking to people about who's going to face Reigns at Mania, which I didn't know, and Dipperson came in and said it's probably Daniel Bryan, which sounds good in theory, but has not been properly set up for me. Anyway, that's it. We'll be back with our main episode later on this week. So everybody, thanks. Enjoy the show. Dipperson, thanks for coming by.
Same age.
And everybody, keep watching wrestling. Kisses. Cheers up.
Comedians of Wrestling.